Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
An amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight. My guest has Vito Grigoli, and he was on a few months ago, and we talked about his guitar playing, his background and stuff, but he had given me a couple of clips from an album that he had done with Kimberly Haynes called Awaken Me, and it was really nice stuff. I used one of the clips as the closing piece, and which I'm going to play later today, tonight also again, but I was really blown away by the album. It's a great, great album. Kimberly was going to be here tonight, but she had some personal business to take care of, so it just means that we're just going to have to do another show and have her come over. So there's always room for another one. But I had talked with Vito after the last show about the album, and we had mentioned going into more detail about it. The album's called Awaken Me, and well, actually, there's two things we're going to show tonight: Awaken Me, and also their new EP called You're the One. And Awaken Me, One World Music had called it album. It had been awarded it Album of the Year. It was number two on One World Music's Top 100 chart, number two on SoundCloud for the Singer-Songwriter chart, and number three on Amazon's Hot New Releases. And it's definitely something you want to listen to. It's really a well-done album, well-engineered, and some amazing playing. And we're going to get a little bit into what Vito did on the album, because it's a lot of great little fills and taste and just really cool, what I call ear candy. So welcome. It's such a pleasure to have you back.
It's a pleasure to be back.
And it's this album, tell me a little bit, and then I'm going to play the EP in a minute. I'm going to open with the You're the One, but tell me a little bit of how this album came about, how it started, just kind of right. Set it up.
Kimberly contacted me through a mutual friend because she wanted to cut a couple of songs and maybe pitch them to a music supervisor. She wasn't really thinking about a grand plan at the time. And we started working together, and it became obvious that there was more here than just a few songs. And so she eventually launched a Kickstarter campaign to raise money to do an album, and the album got birthed in that process. It's also very tied to her spiritual expression, which we can talk more about.
Mm-hmm.
All these songs are mostly autobiographical, and they're all reflecting a sense of personal growth and connecting to your spiritual self and your authentic self. And I don't think she planned on really like making a big message with it, but it very organically developed into what it is and what you'll hear tonight.
And you played pretty much most of the instruments on.
We had some really important guests mm-hmm. to fill in the holes, but yes, I did do a lot of things on it. Yeah.
Well, let me play. Now, this first clip I'm going to play is You're the One, which is, and the reason I'm going to play it's from the new EP that just came out.
Right.
And it's the song You're the One I Want, and the arrangement's brilliant. I mean, when I listened to it, I was like, okay, and I saw what the title was, but it was the way you guys did it, I would have never thought.
Great. I'm glad to hear that.
So, but it also, too, what I want you to listen to in here is, again, what I've noticed in all of the songs, especially on the album Awaken Me, is the way Vito orchestrates the different parts, and there's little things that come in. There's little, you'll hear on this song, you'll hear there's the guitar, and I have to admit, the bass parts on these things are amazing. You played the bass on there. It's some of the most melodic and tasteful, and the tone. The bass, we'll get into that too. This song has 12-string guitar in it too, but the way it builds up, so you're going to hear the opening, and then there's a lot of vocals that come in and out in harmonies, but you'll see how the instruments build, and it just kind of, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So let me play this. This is You're the One That I Want, and this is from the new EP. Absolutely brilliant. I was so into it. I'm listening to the where I cut it out. Let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, the bass is awesome.
Oh,
the way you do these, like the riff that you're doing, it's more than just a riff. It's, you're kind of doing harmonic things, in arpeggiating a little bit of the chord. But what did you use on it? Because the tone of that bass is just beautiful.
That's my Farnell bass that I turned into a fretless. It's very unique because it doesn't quite sound like a Fender fretless Jaco kind of sound, which is what I was really going for, but it developed its own kind of character to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really hard bass part to figure out because I had the feel in mind and I had the guitar part, you know, just kind of a Steely Dan thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find the right place to put the bass in that boom, ba-na-boom, boom, you know, and fit it into the right spot so I could get the kick drum to work just so. So I felt very Donald Fagen about the whole thing, trying to, you know, puzzle piece it together.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me actually a long time to work it out.
Now, did you put together the rhythm, the basic rhythm track before you did the bass, or did that develop after you did the bass?
I generally use the bass to kind of help define the feel. So I'll do a scratch guitar, maybe a loop or a quick drum part I'll do. and then throw the bass on, and then kind of work backwards. And you know, like I had Christo Polani come in and play the drum part on my Roland electronic kit. Mm-hmm. I played it through Superior Drummer by Toontrack. And then I could go in and mess with it, because actually we didn't do the feel that you heard. He didn't record that. I had to go in and change things, because as it developed in my head, you know, clarifying things, I go, oh, no, that really needs to be more halftime than straight time. So things kind of just evolved, and then I tracked some percussion to fill it in, and la, 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 and it just kind of always evolves in that way of, it's like, I like to think of it like a sculptor, mm-hmm. you know, kind of freeing the, you're not quite sure what it is, but you're freeing whatever it is from the marble.
Mm-hmm. But you knew at the time that you decided to do the song that it was going to have that, because that's a, I mean, that song is like, the original is like 10 times faster than, so you knew you were going to do kind of a groove like that.
I have to give credit to where credit's due. I don't really know the song, because I never really saw the movie other than hearing it occasionally on the mm-hmm. radio. But Kimberly heard a version by Angus and Julie Stone. Which is very kind of very, and very, you know, moody. And she was off on a trip, and she recorded it on her iPhone and sent it to me. And I went, there is something here. There's something really cool here. So I kind of took it and sped it up a bit from their version, changed the chords around a little bit, and felt through where I thought would be really cool to go with it, including changing the main chords of the chorus. The chorus has originally is, you know, 1/6.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of did a genesis on it, you know.
Oh, very cool. Very, very cool.
And so
that's where you have the 12-string come in.
Yeah. Right? Well, the 12-string's playing all the guitar. It's two or three tracks of 12-string.
Oh, really?
The solo, which we didn't get to hear.
Even the other little guitar that comes in first, there's like a rhythm. That's a 12-string, too, muted?
Yeah.
So it's all 12-string.
We got to perform this before we recorded it at the NAMM show year before last, and it kind of gave us a nice little test drive for it. So after that, I kind of, all right, well, I think I know where I want to go with this, and you know, make it speak in a more... See, the problem with that song is that it's an extremely explicit lyric,
mm-hmm.
and it's very iconic. So we're trying to do a conscious, you know, spiritual album. So she kept going, how are we going to do this? And I go, with great care. And so I got the idea to pair it up with the chant, Govinda Jaya, the Kirtan chant. And you'll hear that at the end, which we didn't hear in the clip you did, and kind of takes off the whole end of the piece. So it becomes a love song to the divine. So
very cool.
Spins it around. We changed a few of the lyrics in between just because it needed it, you know. And she originally sang it, and we did a track on it, and it was just a little too hot. So we went back, and we kind of recut what we used. So it was a little more, you know, a little less hot.
Right. A little flowy.
Yeah, a little more ethereal.
What other instruments were on there? Like that flute, was that like a...
That's a bansuri from India. The guy who mastered it, who's a good friend of mine, Ricky Cash, he ran the Grammy 2 years ago for New Age. Super talented guy. He lives in Bangalore, India, and he has a whole host of great musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So my initial idea was, well, I'll just get a sample of that from something else I did. I went, nah, I think I'll talk to Ricky. And he sent back this beautiful, beautiful track that I put together, and I kind of replaced it in the song. I felt where it, you know, fit in with the edits that we had done after he had done the track. And so it really adds a nice touch to the whole vibe.
And what you're going to hear tonight in a lot of the clips, there's a lot of interesting instrumentation that Vito uses throughout all of the EP or the album, and we're going to talk about some of that because it adds the colors. Again, the ear candy is just astounding.
You'll hear in that last song, there's a dumbek, the drum, and after we got the main track going, I was going, it needs more of a Middle Eastern vibe added to it rather than more of an Indian vibe. So I pulled a track that I did with Jamie Pappish, who's a marvelous Middle Eastern mm-hmm. hand drummer. And that really, for me, made the track kind of stand up a little bit. So little touches like that will make big changes.
Well, let's listen to another. This is a, and it's called the a global edit of the Waken Me, which was the title song of the right. other album, which is, I think, is if I'm correct, what you had mentioned before with the show was you, the global edit's more, the rhythm's up more, is it?
It's a complete re-envisioning of the song. We decided, you know, we wanted to do this EP for the video release of You're the One, mm-hmm. and we didn't want to just release an edit of just You're the One. So we put together the remix of Awakening, which is a very meditative, chanty type song. But it occurred to me really early on that it could be an easily sort of a dancey kind of vibe, more of a groove. So we put this together.
And then we'll take a listen again, too. This one builds up, and there's a lot of cool little things happening. We're going to ask him, we're going to ask Vito in a minute about those. But there's some really, I think it's guitar stuff, but I'll find out after we listen to this. But this is Awaken Me. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in there. There's like a steel drum type of sound.
It's called a hang drum.
Hang drum.
It's kind of popular in the spiritual circles. Very expensive and difficult to get, but they're beautiful, beautiful instruments. And we had a woman named Abe Byrne, A-E-B. She's a marvelous singer-songwriter and flautist, and she also plays hang drum. So we had to bring two of them in because they're tuned, you know, somewhat diatonically, and we couldn't quite get all the notes for B minor in one. So she's playing two at once in mm-hmm. the studio. It was really fun and difficult to mic, but it adds just a really sweet sound to it.
Now, again, a very cool bass line.
Thank you.
Are you doing that direct or are you using an amp?
I have a Neve knockoff preamp called. Vintage Designs. It's kind of like a Vintech. And so I've been running the bass through there, and that really gives a nice tone.
It's got a, I mean, that sound, I mean, it's just, it has a, I don't know how to describe it, but it's a really nice sound. And then you can, because it's fretless, you can, your portamento.
Sliding around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It's, you know, when we came time to do the remix, the first question was, are we going to redo the bass part and make it really, you know, I thought, no, let's leave the open quality of the fretless and let it, you know, carry that into let it meld with. I mean, I'm very much into melding things that
right
normally.
Well, it actually, to me, it functions like a counter melody. It's
yeah
more melodic than it
yeah
is.
Yeah, I mean, the song as it was originally invented was very, you know, chanty and meditative, and she layered vocals, so it was all very flowy in that sense. So I wanted the bass to reflect that and kind mm-hmm of mm-hmm counterpoint it.
And then you have acoustic guitar.
Is yeah
it, is the, this
12 strings.
That's a 12 string.
All those are 12 strings. There's electric 12, Dan Electro there as well.
Okay, that's what the electric one was.
Yeah.
Okay, because I heard that. It's like right in the, it's there for a minute and it's hard to, it goes away.
Yeah.
And it comes back. But it was, and then what was doing that little high tinkle? Ding, ding,
that's
ding, ding, ding,
ding, that's ding, ding. Omnisphere, one of my favorite virtual synths that I use religiously for just about everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've heard, yeah, they use like, they'll modify string type or percussive type sounds and make them really melodic.
It's, oh, they're really so cool. Creative over there. Just a really can't say good enough things about them.
No, that's also on the EP, just to mention that. But now let's go ahead and take a look. I want to let's play a piece where you're doing a more straight classical guitar piece. This is called Come Come. This is from Awaken Me. Let's play this. And let's talk a little bit about what you did here. It's an interesting sound to me of the classical guitar. Take a listen.
We have not come here to wander alone. We've come here together, just walking home. Come, let's rest for a while.
If I'm correct, we talked about this a little bit before the show. That's the Cordoba
right
classical guitar that you were playing, and that you had brought that last time to the show. What else is there? Now, there's like a, it sounds like, is that the 12 string that's playing the?
No, this is the only song where I only play one instrument on, and that's just the classical guitar. It's Dulcimer. Played by Joellen Lapidus. She's the one who, I think, taught Joni Mitchell to play way back in the day. She's a brilliant, brilliant musician and a friend of Kimberly's. And I had in my mind the dulcimer from the very beginning on this. And there's a cello, and there's our friend Andy Mitron is playing accordion, and later on in the song, Al Jewer is playing a Native American flute, which is really beautiful.
But there was another sound that was like the dulcimer that was really high.
There's three tracks of dulcimer. She brought a bass, a soprano, and then a regular dulcimer. And I had her track basically all of them all the way through. And then I kind of pieced together, you know, orchestrating.
Oh, okay, because there's like this, it almost sounded electronic, but it's like really high up there. But that's the dulcimer,
that's
too.
That's a soprano dulcimer, yeah.
That's a great sound. I mean, the three together, it just... Actually, it surprises me. They're all the same type of instrument because it sounds totally different.
Yeah, when we were working with her, we had her play some different things so that we can kind of orchestrate it, and I think it worked out pretty well.
It's a great little arrangement. It's And the classical guitar just keeps it all together. It keeps it, at least, it just holds it. It holds it together. That's a great sound. And that Cordoba sounds really, really nice. Yeah. Now I'm going to go ahead and play the next two clips. These are, again, there's some interesting things that you're doing. One of them, the first one I'm going to play is My Heart Knows a Way. Again, this is this buildup that you do in the orchestration. And there's actually strings in here, like a
violin.
Just one violin in overdub, or yeah. Is there a quartet?
Yeah. Jesus Florido, mm-hmm. our good friend, played a couple of tracks of violin.
Okay, so let's take a listen to this. And again, also on this one, I think, too, listen to what he does on the bass. The bass really is, there's a really interesting line here.
Sitting here, trying to find my way back to myself. Out on a limb and feeling dizzy from the heights. It's strange up here, where what was wrong now seems so right. And I'm crazy, crazy, crazy from the heights. It's dark in here, where I've been hiding all my fears. As I reach for the light, I hear music in my ears. One small step outside the lines that I have drawn, and I'm falling.
That's two violin parts?
I think it's three.
Three, because those double stops are really full. Those are really full in there. There's some interesting things that you're doing. How did that song come to be?
I'm glad you asked that, because it's an interesting story. It was the second song that you worked on before we even did the Kickstarter campaign, and I did a real kind of flowy, new agey arrangement of it, you know, with that, you know. And I had this nice little flute mm-hmm. beginning coming that I played in, and I had Christo Polanyi come and play some hand drums, and it was a really nice little arrangement. And then she kind of looked at me after a few months and went, "It's not right." I went, "What do you mean it's not right? It's gorgeous." She goes, "No, it needs to be an anthem. It needs to be a proclamation." I forget the other words that she used, but so we completely went back, scratched all the percussion until the very end of the song, I bring it back in. Scratched the flute, and I tracked a drum kit.
Okay.
Which was fun, because I don't get to play kit very much. And I think I retracked most of the bass on the fretted Yamaha bass, so it had more of that rock sound. And I used the same 12-string part that I used for the other version of it. And then we had Jesus come in and play the violin, and I had him do a very aggressive violin. So rather than doing a big guitar solo, you have this really, you know, kind of a heavy metal violin part that he did.
And no, it's great. I love that.
And we'd come up with parts in, you know, right in the middle of the session. I'd be grabbing a piece of paper and writing, you know, scribbling out some notes for him. And he's just great. Okay, yeah, it's great to work with.
Well, one of the things I noticed in that song, too, is she'll sing, you know, a single line, and then she does these, like, amazing multi-voice choral things that she does to, you know, and in and out. It's in and out.
It's interesting because the chorus is basically two parts. You know, ooh, I'm gonna find my way. Ooh, whoa, 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 whoa. It's kind of, the whoa, whoa became kind of like a hook line, and it was just a little ad lib that she did. And I came back and said, no, you have to sing that again, and you have to sing it like that. She goes, no, it's that weird, weird. And then we finally got it right. And she goes, oh, I get it. And it just, it's a nice little contrapuntal thing.
Yeah,
because her lead vocal is so strong and so, you know, you can't see my hand on the radio, but
she has his fist up. Yeah. It's like real powerful.
Yeah, it's a.
But now she had other, you know. So you before you when you were tracking the song, when you were working on the song at that point, you knew what was happening vocally with her, or did?
Pretty much. I mean, she sang it again, and she sang it differently and a little more aggressively than she had, but with the same passion. And she really, you know, I got to give her credit for, she's listed on the album as co-producer because she was there with me making decisions, coming up with ideas like a producer does.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first song where she kind of really got in there and had the confidence to say, this is my vision. And the rest of the album flowed from that. And it, with the exception of You're the One, it was like, okay, how do you see this? You know.
So she would come in with an idea, and you guys would go back and forth with it, which is the way it should be.
Yeah. I mean, the first two songs, Light of My Soul and this one, were like, she wasn't very sure. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't as confident. But once we got through those under our belt and we started digging into the other songs, she was very much finding her feet. And I'm so proud of what she did on this, you know, especially
her vocals. Oh, it's amazing.
And amazing.
But there's a lot of, you have to, you know, I have to give you credit in putting the, placing things in there. There's not a lot of holes. I mean, she's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And finding those little spots, because things come out and, you know, pop out at you when you're listening to the album, especially in headphones.
Yeah.
And but also too, it just the album is just, there's a lot of air in it. There's a lot of room to it. It's not just, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's an open sounding album. It's not, you know, like compressed and just a wall of noise.
Yeah.
Wall of noise. I don't mean that in a negative.
And that comes from, you know, having a background of Beatles, Yes, Genesis, Steely Dan, music that is very well orchestrated, very put together well, and I use those as my guideposts to create these things and pull all the other influences I have, world music and new age music,
right,
and try to pull that together. And she would come up and go, I need a marching snare drum here. Okay, great. What do I do with everything else while that's marching? How do I make that all work for her so she gets the feeling that she wants? And that's the hardest
thing. Yeah, there's a little bit of like a march type of
roll. It was fun to do.
But the percussion-wise, you were using the electronic drum kit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything, just a straight kit, or were you using...
I try to use I think it was a Gretsch kit.
But just like a standard kit, there was no special drums, because it sounded...
I used a lot of floor tom on it, kind of doing that U2 kind of vibe.
Okay.
And it was really... I was originally going to have a proper drummer come in, but I realized the time it would take him to teach him the part, I could probably play it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with computer editing.
No, it's just got the sound is full, but it's open. that to me is a challenge to make it
awesome
without it getting too muddled up.
That's so happy to hear that it came off.
you can hear all the piece, all the parts. All right, let me go ahead and play Do I Dare. And this is another one. This has the didgeridoo in it. What you said. That's
what
fine.
I said. That's
yes.
Right.
I'm tongue-tied now. I can never pronounce that right. But anyway, I want to play that. And here's another one where we can take a look at how you built this arrangement. Because yeah. This is another great... Again, the ambience in the songs is just very, very cool. It just has... Each song is like a little world, and there's just all these little cool little things that are going on in there. So anyway, let me play this one. This is Do I Dare, and take a listen, and listen carefully what he's doing. There's all sorts of little things going on in the background. There's some interesting things that you're doing in there. There sounds like, I mean, there's obviously the guitar in there, and I think that's 6-string, right? Or is that 12-string?
I thought it was 12-string, but I was just listening now going, maybe it is 6-string.
It sounds 6-string. But there also, too, there's another instrument in there. I don't know if it's...
The charango.
Here. He has this, it's this very cool little, like... That's a very cool, and that's in there in the background, and then also too. I'm trying to read. There's just so much stuff going on.
This is an interesting song. So we started out. This started out as a poem that she wrote about something that happened to her, and she read me the poem, and I went, "Dude, this is a song." She goes, "No, go back, go think about it." She came back, and we started evolving into the song. So we sat on the floor, and she's playing. She was playing her big medicine drum, which is about a 28-inch elk skin drum, which mm-hmm. you'll hear in it, the boom, boom. And I was sitting there playing guitar, and we kind of worked out the basic arrangement of it. And from the beginning, it had to be very earth-based.
Right.
So I had the idea, or we both had the idea, of Native American flute, which was played by Gareth Lafferly. He's in Nashville. He sent us some beautiful tracks, the high-pitched bird sounds and the...
Oh, that's that real high sound? That's the flute?
That's a Native American flute, yeah.
Okay.
And he's got a bass version and an alto version of... So he sent us some tracks, and we just kind of put it together. And
yeah, that's very cool.
And then we had some tabla played by our friend Cooper Madison, and that really set the rhythm going for me. And then I tracked a bunch of myself some udu, djembe, and dumbek, and shakers, and rattles, and all kinds of things. And... what else is going on in that song? And then a lot of her beautiful vocals.
Yeah. And then there's like a whole counterpoint to that,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And then the bass, I think that's the fretless bass, pretty
the
sure.
The fretless.
Yeah.
That's a great sound. No, that if anything, just creates that whole world that you create in that song. It's just the whole.
Well, it actually is the whole world, and this is something I realized after we had done it. But we have a sound from every single continent in the world except for Antarctica.
I wonder if there is any instrument from Antarctica.
I'm sure there is, but we don't know about it. So yes. It was really fun to bring all those influences together. And
that's interesting. From every continent, you have an instrument from every continent. That's
The didgeridoo from Australia.
That didgeridoo, I mean, it's...
Tabla from India.
It actually is almost like a vocal part.
Well, that was something I heard really early on. My good friend Stephen Kent, who's a master of the didgeridoo, that really brought it down to earth. And when we did this live at our premiere concert last October, we had a friend of hers who's a really great didgeridoo player come and do it live, and it really just adds so much. It's such a earth, guttural, primordial kind of sound.
Now, let me ask you, though, in recording that, how did you record those? Was that hard to record? Were you able to open it up and put the mics a little farther away?
What we actually did was used a track that Stephen had done for another project because he couldn't get down to L.A., and it actually fit perfectly. And we had used three different mics. It's the didgeridoo that he used on that. It's extremely long. So we were in his studio in Oakland at the time, and we had a mic on the right at the opening. It's just kind of a bit of a bell, and then one above it and one in the room, and we kind of mixed those three together.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it's really quite an operation to get it to sound as amazing as it does live, and I don't know if we actually did that, but...
It sounds good. I mean, it has a presence to it, too.
And it's tricky mixing it because you want to keep it out of the way of the bass, or the bass out of the way of it. You know, and so we had to kind of ride the volume when it comes out. And of course, it's one note. And as the chords change, you have to kind of play with it. So there was a lot of massaging in the song of trying to get everything in the right place to speak in the right area. And, you know, she's there with me, you know, saying, I need this to happen. I want this to happen here. How can we do this? And just, you know, her amazing vocal performance on this.
Yes, it's an amazing song. Now, I'm going to play, we're almost out of time. I want to play one more thing before we close. And this song is called The Jewel. And the reason I want to play this, you have the charanga on here, but it's some of the tastiest electric guitar. I have to play some electric
on the charanga, though. I'm playing horn parts on the charanga.
Okay.
The idea of this whole song was to do everything, flip it on its head. You know, take the drum, I played kit on it, but I tried to do it really muted. The bass part's really muted. The charanga's doing the horn parts. The guitar's kind of doing something else.
You're doing a really cool flute. There's fills that you're doing on electric guitar.
Yeah.
Which guitar were you using on that?
I was doing kind of like Glenn Frey had just passed away. And I was using my Tele kind of doing a long run type of rhythm guitar because I was hearing that in my head. And that was the Tele. What else was I doing? I have to listen to it again.
All right, let me play the clip and take a listen. There's some tasty guitar stuff on here, too, besides all. The charanga is amazing, but listen to this.
You say there's just no time. You say there's just no way. You've got a busy day. Oh, yeah, you do. To waste it would be a crime. You gotta rise with the sun. Put the car in drive. No time to go inside. Gonna make the morning migration.
Now, there's some cool, I mean, I pulled that clip because there's some great guitar playing in there. You're doing these little, like a little.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a edge kind of guitar with the delay.
There's a delay on there. And then those fills, those riffs, boom, boom, you know, those little slides, those are the Tully.
Joe Walsh type of laid back stuff.
Yeah, no, it's very, very cool. And then that charanga just adds a whole different.
I'm doing two tracks at charango, the basic rhythms, rather than doing it on acoustic guitar. I did on charango. Mm-hmm. And then there's at the end of the chorus, there's that.
Yeah, the little riff.
The horn. And then there's a, and there's some, you know, kalimba, and there's penny whistle in there at one point, and banjo, which was a nice little fun thing to do. This is originally was a song she demoed as an R&B song, kind of a dancey thing. Mm-hmm. And she did this amazing vocal performance, Mariah Carey style thing on it. And it just, we couldn't kind of like, oh, well, let's do that because it just wouldn't fit with the album. But what we were able to do, I just had this crazy idea, let's take some of those back vocals you do with all the, you know, kind of girl singer kind of Supremes-ish stuff that she did on it, and let's pull that into the song. And it was kind of tricky to do, but we were able to make it fit, and it added just the right sort of cool, and I changed the drums and bass to make it a little bit more, you know, classic Motown.
It has a funky feel, but it's not... Is that the Yamaha bass?
I think that is the fretted. Yamaha. It's one of the few that I used the fretted on, yeah.
Yeah. Because it has a great groove to it. It's a little mellower than a standard, you know, R&B.
I tried a few different things, and she's going, no, it's not quite right. It's not quite right. Can you make it more? And so we finally got to this, and she goes, that's it.
Because it definitely just takes off. That groove is right in the pocket. It's just right there. And then all the little stuff like the kalimba, that just little stuff like that. It's, you're just sitting there, and you're listening to the song, you know, and he's doing all these guitar parts, and they're very cool and very tasty, and then all of the do-do-do-do-do, but you hear that little, I'm like, hello, okay.
It was really fun to do.
Yeah, that sounds like it was a real fun cut.
The song had to be a fun song, you know, so I got to really kind of play with that.
That's very cool. Well, we're already out of time again.
Wow, how'd that happen?
But everybody, you got to check out this album, Awaken Me. It's just great. And again, I'm only playing, even my clips were almost 2 minutes. These were hard to, I had to play it enough so you can see the development. But some of these songs are like 5 to 7 minutes long.
So there's longer.
Or longer. There's a lot more going on, but it's some of the best. I mean, if you want to hear a global thing of instruments, there's all sorts of interesting colors and articulations and orchestrations in the songs, and it's just a good feel, I mean, altogether. But again, very clear. You can hear all the parts. It's a great album for headphones. I recommend it for headphones. You hear all this stuff going on in there.
I want to give a quick shout out to my friend George Landris, who helped me with some of the mixing on it. It really was important to get these different instruments to speak, and he really helped me clarify the mix. So thank you, George.
Yes. So check out www.musicmedicinewoman.com and www.dharmapalarecords.com.
DHARMAPALA records.com.
And anything coming up?
We have a few gigs coming up. We're tentatively putting them on the schedule. Go to Kimberly's website, and we'll have it posted there. And new album probably will get started hopefully at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year.
Oh, all right.
So we're real excited about the next one.
Well, we'll definitely have to have you come back, and we'll talk about that album too. And I want to thank Lori again, as usual, always introducing me to some great people. It's great to have you on again. I really thank you so much.
I can't tell you how much fun it's been.
This was great. I love hearing the behind the scenes. I mean, it's and the relationship between you and Kimberly is a special thing, and that type of collaboration. I think that's important how that works, because it definitely creates something between the two of you that's unique, and it's beautiful, and it's a great. To me, it's a cool thing.
Awesome.
So anyway, I'm going to leave us with the piece that I played, because it's one of my favorite pieces on the album. And it also features a lot of really cool classical guitar by Vito. This is the Pathless Path.
With charango in it.
Yes. Yeah, there's that too in there. So everybody, thanks again for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Here's Pathless Path. And remember, this is Awaken. You can get it everywhere. And then also check out the EP, You're the One. Everybody have a great night.
On the pathless path.
Pathless path.